Welcome to episode 12 of You Had to Be There, the podcast where we deep dive into the world of concerts, musicians, and the music industry. I'm your host, Julia Gomberg. This week's guest is one of my favorite people I've had the opportunity to work with. Daniela Romero is a seasoned marketing expert with over 7 years of hands-on experience. She is the marketing manager at the legendary Greek Theater in Los Angeles and also manages events and partnerships with Amplify Her Voice. Daniela is particularly dedicated to advocating female empowerment and sustainability within the music and entertainment industries. I also may be a little biased, but Daniela has killer taste when it comes to emerging artists and music, so be sure to check out her personally curated playlist linked in the show notes. Lastly, I just wanted to say this is the season finale of season one of You Had to Be There. It's hard to believe that just a little over a year ago, while I was attending a concert, I conceived this idea of creating a podcast to delve deeper into the music industry. My goal is always to learn about its history and gain insights from inspiring colleagues and friends. Well, 12 episodes, 9 interviews, and endless hours of editing, here we are. So thank you so much for following me along this journey. It's really been more rewarding and inspiring than I could have imagined. I definitely have exciting things in store for season 2, so be sure to stay tuned and follow us on Instagram at the letter U had to be their pod to stay updated on the latest announcements and more. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll see you soon.
Hi, everyone. My name is Daniela Romero, and I'm currently based in Los Angeles, California, and my job right now is that I'm the marketing manager at the Greek Theater in Los Angeles. Emphasis on Los Angeles because there's a Berkeley Theater, so the Greek Theater.
I did not know that. I am so excited to ask all about this new role. How new is it, actually?
I would say around since January.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah, January, February, around there.
Wow.
So it's been, 6 months, and already have like 20 concerts under me already.
Oh my gosh. So you're like a seasoned pro at this point. Wow. Yeah. For those who don't know, like last time I saw Daniela, you were hustling hard and I knew something big was going to come for you. And I'm so happy it did.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. It was such a challenge. And I feel like every job search is so challenging. So I'm glad, you know, everything happens when it needs to be in its timing, and it did. And it's been so great.
That's amazing. And also on the side, so the way that Daniela and I know each other is through Amplify Her Voice. And we've had Christina London, the founder, on in the previous episode. Can you say a little bit about what you do with Amplify?
Yeah, so Amplify Her Voice, I've been with them for, I'd say, over a year now. I met Christina online and was just so inspired by her story. And then as I heard more about Amplify, I wanted to join as I was actively pursuing a role in the music industry. Right now I do a lot of work within partnerships and just helping develop collaborations with different organizations, whether it's nonprofit organizations for women in music, or activating around bigger events such as festivals, like All Things Go. So it's a lot of kind of like music business, which I like, and then coming up with ideas for different projects that we want to pursue. So it's been really great so far. And obviously Julia and everyone on the team is so sweet. It's just also too, above all, it's just nice to have a good community of women that I genuinely look up to, because you all are amazing and just keep on doing my personal work and constantly being inspired by like these people and the people that we meet and the people that we activate around and all that.
I love that. And I totally agree. That's my favorite part of Amplify too. It's like such a nice way to have a community of really inspiring women in this industry. And I feel like every day I'm like blown away by something someone is doing in our little circle. It's so cool.
Yeah, no, and I think translating it now into my role, I'm like,
yeah,
there, I see these like discrepancies, and I am unfortunately experiencing things firsthand. It's like, how can we advocate for women in music? And there are a lot of part-time people in our venue, and there's a lot of aspiring, you know, artists, engineers, right, people that want to open their own like recording studios, like all women. And so it's like me talking to them and getting to hear their story and how can I support them this crazy industry. So it's been cool to see like the parallels, and a lot of people know about Amplify too, which is so
cool. It's so cool. Yeah. I love telling people about Amplify, and then they're like, oh, I know what that is. Of course I know what that is. And it's like, I feel so cool and like proud of us.
100%. That's so funny. Yeah.
Okay. So let's go back a little bit. Like, can you talk a little bit about growing up, like what your relationship with music was like?
So my background, I guess I could talk about my background. Growing up, I was surrounded by a lot people in music and just artists in general. So for me, something that captivated me a lot in music is just the creativity of it. Mm. You know, my grandma was like a prima ballerina in Peru, and so she blasted like classical music, and
oh, wow,
that was kind of ingrained in my veins. And then a lot of my family is like, they're like artists, or, you know, they do like sculpturing. They're like professional artists in Peru. So whoa, being able to be, yeah, it was cool. And so being able to be around that, I was like, this is so cool. Am I a creative person? I was kind of discovering that for a while. And so in my career, I actually studied politics growing up. So completely the opposite of music, doing political science and also learning about international affairs, international politics, all while listening to music, falling in love with new artists, and then going to festivals and things like that. And then out of nowhere, I found a gig with Red Bull, the energy drink. So I did that for 3 years, and then I moved on to Vans. So a lot of lifestyle roles. But the one thing that they all had was a pillar of like culture, and culture included music, and just me being who I was growing up and being Peruvian, like music's a huge thing. So I was so drawn to that community cultural pillar of these companies. They had like sports, they had art, and they had music. And so Red Bull has Red Bull, Red Bull Records and Vans. They partner and collaborate with artists. I think they had like a Metallica shoe. They had Anderson .Paak. So I was like, this is so cool. I didn't know this could be a role. Like this could be a job. And so I think that was kind of the transition where I was like, I love music. I love the community and the just how it brings people together. Like, how can I make this my career? And so I decided to make the switch from like politics to marketing and music. And yeah, I think music's just been a big part of my life growing up. So it's been nice to see it evolve, and to where I am now is insane. It's insane.
That is. I love to hear people's stories like that, because I always think there's such a common theme of that music kind of is in the background of people's lives, and it's something that's been like very consistent in people's lives. And then there's just that aha moment where you're like, wait, this is what I love. Like, this is, it's been here all along, kind of. And like, it's just such a cool moment.
Yeah, no, 100%. And it was cool because me being in these different, these amazing companies, but they all have their different culture. Yeah. So it was cool to be exposed to these areas of music. So yeah. And then I did work at Crypto.com Arena, formerly known as Staples. So that was really cool.
Oh.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Another thing where now, as I'm marketing these different artists, like each artist has their creative vision, like their goal for their tour and how they're going to reach their fans and bring this community that they created to their fans as they're visiting in these different cities. So it's it's really cool to see how it all comes together. So I love
it.
Working in marketing is always so fun, especially if you know the PR people. They could really hook you up.
So true. I'm always jealous of the people who know get the free PR stuff. Must be nice.
Yeah.
So how did you know that like marketing was what interested you?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Yeah, it's just so weird how I got into marketing, because as I mentioned, I was doing political science and I still love to be involved in activism, and I still keep, you know, up to date with what's going on in the world. And I feel like it's something that's a part of me. So when I was transitioning to marketing, I was being very cautious, just because for me, I thought I'm going to do politics and save the world. You know, I feel like a lot of people feel that way. And then marketing, I was like, this is so fun. And should I be having fun? You know, things like that. So that was something that I was challenged by. But as I joined Red Bull, we were basically in this program where we worked with the brand, but we were also being taught and being sent to these basically schools where we would learn more marketing, brand development, obviously the brand of Red Bull. And so as I was going to these, I guess you could say like summer camps or summer schools, as I was going more to these, I was like, oh, this is marketing and this is very interesting. And the analytics behind it, the science behind it, if you want to say,
right,
that kind of caught my attention. And I had no idea I was like doing marketing at that time. The only thing I knew was with politicians and them running for office, they have their, you know, campaign managers, their campaign team. And for me, that translated as marketing, as these politicians are trying to build this brand to have people to vote for them. So that was kind of like my closest similarity.
I know. Don't you also, because you're talking about kind of activism and politics and music, were you, am I making this up, that you were involved with Headcount?
Yeah, no, yeah, Headcount's so awesome. I love Headcount.
Me too.
Yes, Headcount's so amazing. So once I made that transition into music, I obviously did my marketing role, but I still wanted to continue my activism and that passion I have. So I was looking for different nonprofits that I could get involved with that are in music, and that's such a big thing that's happening right now. I feel like there's been more and more organizations activating around music and in festivals. So I found Headcount, which Headcount basically encourages people to vote at concerts and festivals, and they do a lot of voter registration, voter education, things like that. And in return, they give cool prizes, whether it's tickets or merch or something like that. So I was able to do that. And I still do that because it's so sweet just working within music in this different capacity. And the people you meet are just so sweet. I feel like all these people that give their time for these organizations, they're just such kind human beings. And they're all genuinely, they're all genuinely passionate about music and also that social issue that you're activating around. Another thing I did was Global Inheritance, and I've been working with them for 3 years now. And they're essentially Coachella's sustainability partner. So that's something I also love, just climate activism and in music. And so that's been so fun and so crazy. Such a big topic of conversation for sure.
That's so cool. I didn't realize you did that. So what does that like, what's your involvement look like?
Yeah, so my first Coachella, I went by myself.
Dang, good for you.
Yeah, I wanted to go. And I also found Global Inheritance and wanted to volunteer and work with them. So I decided to join the team and head up to Coachella Weekend 2 and 2021, I believe. They are Coachella's sustainability partners, so they activate around both Coachella's and Stagecoach. And have you ever seen those colorful artsy trash cans at Coachella?
Yes. Yes.
That's Global Inheritance.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah. So they do 5 different programs at Coachella. One is the recycle bins. And so they put out a form inviting people and creatives and artists to decorate and basically glamify these trash bins that then are placed at Coachella. And it's basically just bottom line, encouraging people to recycle, you know,
right?
Do your part at the festival. If you go to a festival, stay after any set and you'll see thousands of water bottles and cans just lying on the floor. Oh my gosh,
totally.
Very, very sad and embarrassing. So they do a lot of programs. They do like poster concepts. They do giveaways during pre-camping. They encourage carpool-chella. It is a long drive for a lot of people, so you should be carpooling regardless. They do like free VIP upgrade, guest wristband, and they even do Coachella for like Coachella passes for life.
Oh my gosh. Carpool. That's insane. Yes.
Right?
That's so cool. Oh my God. Yeah. I definitely seen those garbage cans and I just thought like everything from, because I've never been to Coachella, but like everything looks so aesthetic. I just like didn't even think about like the meaning behind it, but that's amazing. I love that.
It's so great. And it's a big community effort. They rely a lot on volunteers and people just wanting to give their time. To just educate and inspire people about sustainability and music, especially at these festival grounds. So it's really cool. I love them.
And to your point, like there's so much more at festivals and even concerts than just the music. Like if you think about it in that way, yeah, like all the activations, like I always see Headcount. It always makes me happy when they're there. And it's like, it really helps foster that community feel at shows like that.
It's so funny how life is such a full circle sometimes because now Headcount comes to the Greek Theater.
No way.
Shows. And so Madison Beer, they had Headcount here and I was fangirling.
It's awesome. Yeah. I love that. It is so full circle. Wow.
It's so funny. So it's nice to see people doing that work within music and just understanding that there's so many jobs and so many ways to get involved in music, and you could make it really personable to what you're passionate about. And I love that.
Yeah, so true. So well said. So we love the passion. We love the activism. How did you land at the Greek Theater?
That's a great question. Also, I'm walking into my office.
Oh, perfect timing of asking. She's literally going to be in her office in a second, guys. The Greek Theater office. Do you have a show tonight?
No, we have a show tomorrow. Mm. And Ethel Kane is going to be here.
I'm jealous. She was so good at All Things Go.
Yeah, I remember us seeing her together.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So how did your passions lead you to where you literally are right now, which is the Greek Theater?
Honestly, my first time at the Greek Theater, I believe, was in like 2022, which is so recent. Mm. And I had no idea that I would be here 2 years later. Essentially, I was coming from crypto.com arena and just wanting to do something different in any job if you're not 100% content with where you're at. I do like encourage you to find something that you love to do. And so I just basically was job searching for something else within marketing and also just wanting to advance in my career. I was previously working like social media specialist, marketing coordinator roles for a while now and wanted to do just pursue something in a higher level and advance my career while doing that. So I was looking for marketing manager roles. Decided to take that big step. It honestly just happened by chance, I would say. I don't know if you want to include that.
No, totally. It's part of the journey, yeah.
I decided to pursue music more actively, and I was looking for roles within
the industry, whether that was, at a promoter or different venues, previously working at a venue, and then also looking even into management with labels, independent labels. And I also decided to move to LA from Orange County and just really be intentional and focused. And it's honestly, for me, it was so hard to find a role being in Orange County. So I decided to make that move. And I think that helped a lot. And yeah, I was interviewing for around 6 months, just with different amazing that you probably know, like labels and companies, and getting so close to different opportunities, and going to like final rounds and meeting the CEO and things like that, and just the whole process of finding a role. And so when I saw the Greek Theater, I think I been to the Greek Theater like twice before applying, and I just thought like this would be such a great opportunity. It's in LA, it's an iconic venue, it looks something like my speed. I loved that it was located in Griffith Park, and just me loving the outdoors, I thought it could be a good opportunity. I was looking to move within like this part of LA, so I decided to just go for it. And as I was interviewing in the process, I was like, this is something that I could see myself doing. And it honestly, too, in any role, it just comes down to you interviewing as well as you can and just someone giving you that opportunity. And our GM at the Greek Theater just saw something in me I'm so incredibly grateful for. And she gave me the opportunity. So I'm so grateful for her. And I do not take it for granted. So yeah, it's been a good journey since starting.
I am so happy to hear that. And I think like, I'm glad you mentioned the interview process, because it is brutal and it can really like tear you down, especially you can get so close and still be so far. And I think there's something to be said of like how you persevered and then found something that not only like was a good fit for them, but like was a great fit for you, for your what you wanted.
Yeah. 100%. And I always encourage like my friends, like just keep on pushing. And I kind of had to accept that I was going to be rejected a lot. Right. And I was, and even rejection where it doesn't make sense, I'm like at that final stage, but I had to just take that and use it as fuel and just use it as an opportunity and experience to just grow. And so it took a while, you know, it's not overnight. It wasn't glamorous. It took me at least 5 to 8 months to land, you know, a role in this role. So patience, perseverance, good community, not giving up for sure. So, but it's been great. I mean, the Greek Theater is one of the most beautiful music venues ever in Los Angeles and all around. So
that's so, and I love that it's like, trust the process, really. As an East Coaster myself, like, I've heard of the Greek Theater. I know that movie, Get Him to the Greek with Jonah Hill. I've seen that, but that's as far as besides from stalking you on Instagram and following the Greek Theater, like, can you kind of explain what makes it so special?
Of course. I love talking about the venue. Also, I still need to watch that movie. So,
oh my gosh, you do.
It's definitely on my list.
You have to.
After the season. But yeah, so the Greek Theater is a very historic venue. It's an outdoor venue, so we are rain or shine. And it's located within Griffith Park, which is in Los Angeles, kind of close to Los Feliz, Silver Lake, West Hollywood, Hollywood area. And the park is so big. It's so huge. There's a zoo within here. There's different hiking trails. There's different cafes. There's a golf course. I think it's like 3,000 acres or something like that. So it's a huge park. And there's also the observatory where a lot of people come to LA and visit the Griffith Observatory to see like the stars. And so literally the trail down is the Greek Theater. And so it's nestled within the trees. And so I think what people love about the Greek Theater, besides being the venue that it is and the artists that come in, is the location and the atmosphere. One, it's outdoors. So it's, yesterday was such a beautiful show with Third Eye Blind, and the weather was great and the sunset is gorgeous.
Wow.
Wherever you are in the venue, the house, you see the mountains behind the stage, and then you'll see the sunset as it settles, and then once it gets night, you see the stars, and it's among the redwood trees. So it's so beautiful, and the sound is amazing. It's kind of nestled in this half circle, and so everything kind of comes together. And I think beyond all too, every seat at this venue is a good seat because the view is so good. It's very intimate. It's around 6,000 capacity.
So
it's not too big, not too small. It feels very intimate for everyone that comes in, whether, as opposed to a 50,000 person venue here, you could definitely see the artist and you don't have to squint.
Right.
Depending on your seat, you could be closer or further, but the sound is also great. The lighting is amazing. So yeah, the Greek is awesome. And it's been here for a while, since 1931.
Wow.
And we've had such amazing legendary artists come. So I'm so grateful for that. Bunch of rock stars. And then even up till now, just iconic people like Olivia Rodrigo's first show.
Oh, wow.
We've had Stevie Nicks, Norah Jones is coming back.
So cool.
Bunch of iconic artists have touched the stage. Everyone you could think of. I think it's a rite of passage for a lot of people to perform here.
Right.
And a lot of artists, I feel their feedback has been, I just love the venue. Mm-hmm. It feels, so at home. And a lot of artists who are from LA too, it's this is their hometown as
right.
well.
Right. Right. That makes so much sense. You just illustrated it so beautifully. Oh my gosh. What a description of a magical venue. I want to go so bad now.
No, I love it. And a lot of people come for their first time, and I think that's so heartwarming to hear that. And yeah. I'm glad that they get to leave having a great experience. And so it's just so beautiful. And I prefer being outside.
Totally. I mean, oh my gosh, especially there. How could you not? How many shows have you worked so far, did you say?
I'd say at least 20.
Wow. So you started pre-season. So it's a seasonal venue?
Yeah, so we are a seasonal venue. We run April to October, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
It could be over, under, just depending on the schedule. And then we have a certain number of concerts throughout the year, or throughout that time frame from April to October. So, we'll see who else is getting added to the roster. But, I mean, we already had Daryl Hall, Elvis Costello. We had Third Eye Blind yesterday, Tate McRae. We have Slash. Three Nights of Mac DeMarco. We have Three Nights of Gracie Abrams. We have UB40, which my parents are so excited about.
Oh my gosh. Jones.
I know. My parents are loving it.
Yeah, they must be so excited. Oh my gosh. It's also just the variety of artists and the demographics must be so different, night to night.
Yeah, Madison Beer to Daryl Hall performing yeah. Maneater, which is insane. Was going
crazy. It's such a cool balance of for you to get to see such legends and then legends in the making of the next generation.
Yeah, it's always cool to see, because for artists, I mean, with touring, they do want to keep, advancing and going to the next and reaching the next capacity in the venue. And, a lot of people will start at the Shrine or something smaller, the Troubadour, and then right. they'll go to a Greek Theater, and then they'll go to the Kia, the Forum, and then they'll reach that number of Taylor Swift and sell out SoFi. So it's nice to see them progress. And Olivia was here, and then now she's going to the Forum. Omar Apollo is here, and now he's going to Hollywood Bowl. So it's nice to see these artists kind of advance in their careers. But a lot of them though, surprisingly, do come back just because they love the venue and they love performing at the venue.
Yeah, it does really sound like a familiar, like comforting almost venue for artists.
Yeah, it's been so sweet. And I think with the venue too, and I mean, there's a bunch of venues in Los Angeles that are so historical that have been here and are part of the community. It's just nice to see the people that have worked here before. I'll meet people and they'll be like, I worked as an usher when I was 18. It's like, it's insane. It's so cool to learn the history and just like appreciate it. And yeah, you know,
and be part of the history.
Yeah, 100%. I'd say so. Yeah.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah, so far.
So far. It's only been a couple months, but.
Hey, I mean, you've been like, I feel like you hit the ground running like since you started. And I guess that leads me into asking, like, can you kind of talk about like, yeah, what is your day to day like in the role?
Yeah, that's a great question. anyone wanting to come into music, just know it's a very fast paced industry. You have to be ready to hit the ground running for sure. Just depending on your venue or what you do, it's definitely a lot of work. But in my role as a marketing manager right now, I've been working on basically all the touch points, email marketing, digital, running digital advertisements, organic with social media.
Wow.
I've been doing digital signage around the venue, just with our marquee, our digital screens, how the venue looks, working with our food and beverage department, working with our premium department. Above all, too, the focus is to move tickets and sell tickets and get people to the venue. So that kind of music business sales aspect to working with our premium department to sell your premium seats. I guess another creative part of my job too is announcing these shows, getting the shows out there, promoting the shows, working with artist teams to collaborate and think of fun ways to activate around their tour, their show, the specific show that's at the Greek Theater. So I've got to work with a lot of artists too. And then, yeah, just all the glamorous things that marketing entails with reporting or analytics in the back end.
Wow, you wear so many hats like under the marketing umbrella. It's impressive.
Thanks. Yeah, and it's been great during shows too. So I get to work on our socials and just covering the event and then working with press and like photographers. Yeah, whether it's from the start of announcing the show to like seeing the show come alive day of. So everything that falls under marketing, I cover. So it's been great. It's been a lot. But yeah, I definitely jumped into this and wanted to pursue something and learn. And I am so happy that I'm learning every day.
And then to your point, like it's true. And I think your description of your day-to-day job proves the point. Like you said, you have to hit the ground running. And I think that can never be like overstated in this industry. So how do you find balance in that?
That's so funny. Cause I was going to say, yes, it's fast paced, but at the same time, like there is balance. And I think balance looks so different for everyone. And just like communicating with your manager and your team, if you have that, like what does this balance of work and life look like for you? And I encourage you to definitely have that conversation. I'm so thankful that this team is so supportive and we really rely on each other and are very supportive. And that allows me the time to have like flexibility and be able to balance. For me, organizing my time really well, like when I come to work, I'm super focused, like no distractions, because I want to get my job done. And then after work, I could happily be satisfied that I don't need to work during the night and I can enjoy my evening. And I love working out. So that's been something that has been helping me, like running
yeah. is
my hobby. And so what better way to, I'm so happy that we're at Griffith Park. There's so many running trails here.
Right.
Yeah. So I've been going on runs either like before or after work or in the park, and it's been so fun.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I, as we kept saying hit the ground running, I was like, I need to bring up her running.
oh gosh,
I know that's such a part of your life. No, I think that's amazing. I, as someone who cannot run, I've been like watching your journey of like training for the half marathon, everything. Oh my gosh, it's, you like really are like the example of balance. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a lot, but I think I'm thankful that I could like shut my laptop and, you know, focus. Right. And sometimes I do have to have long working days and make that sacrifice, which I'm totally fine with.
Right.
But when I am allowed the time, just really taking that time to organize yourself, like do your laundry, like meal prep, cook yourself a meal, like don't go out and eat all the time, like especially if you're working at a venue and eating concessions all the time.
Right. Fair.
So yeah, it's been a lot of like encouraging myself to take better care of myself, because I know this job is more than like the average, especially working in live events, as they call it. Live events. Right. For sure, like tough.
Right.
They start at like 6 a.m. and they could end at like 2 a.m. So,
wow. Yeah, that was what I wanted to also ask. Like, yeah, just in general, like how much are you on site? Like, it seems like a very obviously hands-on role.
Yeah, very hands-on, which I love. Yeah. It just depends. And I feel like anyone working in live events could attest to the hours and just, mm-hmm. the hours that you're given. I remember I would do part-time roles and they could start as early as 6 and they could end as late as like 3 a.m.
Right.
If you're working live events, for me it just differs on day to day, but our concerts are evening concerts. They could start anywhere from 5 and end till 11, so we have a hard curfew here at the Greek Theater. So we always end at 11, but with loading out, breaking down, things like that.
Right.
But it differs. I mean, this is still like a 9 to 5, like today, it's a Friday, so I'm going to be here till like 5:30 and just enjoy my weekend. But yeah, tomorrow we have a concert, so I'll be back on Saturday, and then Sunday we don't have a concert, so I'll resume my weekend as normal.
right. Yeah, that makes sense. It's kind of like rolling with the punches and then fitting things in as you can. For Saturday shows, are you like in an office or are you really like on site, like in the crowds? Like, yeah, where are you, I guess?
Where am I? It's so funny. Yesterday's show, I was running around. Sometimes I'm really running, not running, but like walking really fast.
Right.
to point A and to point B. I think it's a little bit of both. So during shows, I will get here and there's a lot of like pre-production that needs to be done, whether that's, you know, organizing lists or working on credentials or updating the marquee and working with our videographer to update our digital loop and you know, if there's a partner, like meeting them or touring them around the venue. So it just depends. But I'll usually be at my desk while the show is going on, just trying to get work done, because
right.
I have work to do. And this show is work too, but I have work on top of that. So, you know, taking advantage of the time. Obviously, I will go and see a song or two, mm-hmm. but sometimes I just prefer to like get my things done. And then, as I mentioned, just social coverage. So I'll go out, get the venue and people coming in as doors open, just getting them like enjoying the venue itself. I like recording a lot of that. And then I record the opener and then the headliner. and just kind of like post it on social. We have a house photographer. Her name is Natalie. She's the most talented person ever. And so I work with her on creating a lot of different like creative assets. So right now we've been experimenting a lot with like reels and TikTok and trying to grow. So we've been doing like mini mic interviews during shows.
Oh, that's
been
fun.
So fun.
With artists?
Yeah. Not artists, not yet, but just with our fans.
I love that.
Yeah, and just trying to think of different video content as we're growing our socials. And then she obviously takes pictures of the main act, and I work with her she edits them and then hands them over, and then I get to like post it all over our digital feeds, and then, you know, write the caption, make it go live, and send it to whoever needs it. And yeah, and then with the photographers too, they come to the venue and I get to work with them and just make sure like they're adhering to any venue policy, like artist rules when it comes to photography. So I'll be like in and out, but yeah, it just depends. On Madison Beer, Natalie and I, we went and a lot of fans showed up in like cute bows.
Oh, so
it was so sweet. So we took pictures of all the bows and like turned it into like a 15-second reel, and it was so cute. And
that's awesome.
Even Madison's mom like commented on the TikTok, like it was so cute.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think that's so, I'm so glad and impressed like how much you capture like the fans aspect, because that's just as important obviously as everything else, like the people showing up. And I would imagine like for so many people it could vary from it being their first concert to their like 20th time seeing their favorite artist. Like everyone has such a different story, and capturing that must be really fun.
Yeah, it is sweet, and I wish I could just be outside the whole time just seeing everything. But I obviously have work to do, but it's nice when I am out and just seeing the genuine reactions and genuine like interactions of the people at the venue. It's so sweet.
Should I book a ticket tomorrow?
It's just so cute. And like I said, you have to come so you can see for yourself. And I still go to other venues, of course, and I do want to make my way around, just like now working at a venue and seeing the inner workings, like wondering what it's like at other venues and experiencing those as just like a general attendee. So I really want to like go to different venues in LA and see how it is.
Yeah, that's a great point also. I mean, there's so many venues in LA, and I had written down, I don't know if this is like a fair question to ask me, but do you have a favorite venue outside of the Greek, or it could be the Greek? I don't know.
I've been going, so ever since moving to LA, and if you want to move to LA, like this is your sign, I'd say do it, especially if you're into music. There's so many venues and so many shows every day. So I'm like still trying to like get around and visit each one. I have yet to visit a lot of them. I like the Greek, obviously. I've been to the Hollywood Bowl. I've been to the Wiltern. I've been to the Shrine. Honestly, I'm thinking of the Observatory in Orange County just because I grew up with that venue. It was really small and sweet. I mean, a dream would be Red Rocks. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
OC is like 1,000 capacity, so it's super small.
Super small.
I just remember going to that venue growing up a lot.
Yeah, was there anyone that stood out that you remember?
Oh my gosh, how embarrassing. No.
<That's okay. laughs>
I just remember like it was like 15 minutes away from my college, and tickets could be as low as like $10, and it was just like so nice to like drive over there and see a show, and it was intimate.
A show that small, like it's a different experience almost, so I totally can imagine why that would stand out for you. And like that it has like a nostalgic component of like being near college and all that.
Yeah, so I'd say that one. But maybe ask me again in a year and I'll see.
Okay, deal. I will. Yeah, there's so many venues. I mean, if you were to ask me, I would have just as much of an issue answering that. I mean, I worked at or interned at Summer Stage in Central Park, and the way you're describing the Greek really sounds similar to Summer Stage because it's like in Central Park. It's about the same capacity. And yeah, I was on site for every show, and it was just the energy and just like the amazing weather. Everything was, it definitely stands out as like an amazing, like my one of my favorite work experiences for sure. But I love like hearing you talk about your experience. It's making me all like nostalgic for Central Park.
Is it still active? Like it's still, they're still having shows at Central Park?
Yeah, what? And the amazing too is it's like all free programs. So almost every show is free, except then they have like, you know, the like paid shows to help fund it. But for the most part, yeah, it's like mostly free show, like really good artists. So it's an amazing program.
How long did you work there for?
I found the ad for it on Craigslist like so in like 2012. I was like 19, I think. And then I loved it so much. I think I took a year off. And then when I graduated college and I didn't have a job yet, I was like, this would be a good, like, it wasn't paid, but I was like, this is how I would love to spend my summer again. And then, and it's also run the same seasonal time as the Greek, like April to October. And then I was like, hopefully it will lead to something else. And I mean, it didn't, but that's okay. I have amazing memories and friendships still to this day, so it was worth it for sure.
That's so cool. I didn't know you did that. That's so cool too. I've only been to New York a couple times, but I love Central Park.
Oh my gosh, well, we both have to visit each other, and you can take me to the Greek and I'll take you to Summer Stage.
I'm down. Let's do it.
Love
that. That sounds so fun too.
Yeah, it's really the best. And I just feel like you are so, even working at All Things Go and just being at All Things Go with you, you're so good at keeping your cool and your like composure. And I think that's so imperative for a role like the one you're in when you're like juggling so much. So I'm really glad that they like saw that in you.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, I'm so excited for some artists coming to the show, but I'm obviously going to keep my cool.
Like who? Tell us.
Fangirl internally, but I have been working with artists since I started. So getting to meet them has been so sweet.
Yeah. Like who?
I've got to meet Ben Platt and then Kuko in person. And they were just really kind, just working with them, getting to know their team and the people that support them has been really cool. So we'll see who else I get to work with.
Is there anyone that you really want to work with who you haven't yet?
I would love to work with Mac DeMarco. He's coming in July because he has 3 sold out nights.
Wow.
Which is so impressive. Wow. So good for him. So happy for him.
He's had such a long, sustaining career. He actually played Summer. That's how I discovered him. He played Summer Stage back like in 2012, so over 10 years ago. And I was like a huge fan of his. To this day, I am. I feel like you and I have always had very similar tastes in music, which I also want to get into. Yeah, that's why I was like so excited to have you on, especially. And also part of what I do for the podcast is I'll ask you to make a playlist of like 10 to 15 of songs you're into. So I'm already very excited for what you put together.
Oh no, that's going to be so hard.
I know. It's like, that's what Christina said too, like verbatim.
We do have similar music tastes. And when we discovered that, we were like, meant to be. It was meant to be.
Yeah, totally. I always think whenever I listen to Jungle, I always think of you.
They came to the Greek. Like,
did iconic. They really? Oh my gosh.
I think two years ago.
Oh, that would be amazing to see them there. Wow. But yeah, Mac DeMarco, I also like, he had, I think it's still active. He's like a fan club, like a legit, like old school fan club where he like writes letters and like sends out like official member pins and stuff, and they were hiring an intern for that. And so I applied and I had to like put together like a video project, and I like didn't know how to make videos. So I used like PowerPoint, and like I like ended up going to an interview, and then I think I ended up withdrawing because it was just like unpaid and I like really needed money. But it was a really cool, like very niche, very him opportunity.
That's so cute. I just Googled it, his fan club.
Yeah, is it still active?
I don't think so.
Oh, bummer.
Oh yeah, no, I'm so excited. It's always so cool to see like this, their journeys and where they started and where they are now and how they progressed as an artist and just every aspect. And I feel like at the end of the day, like they're also just like regular human beings just doing right. their job, you know? And so it's been nice to just see these people in this different perspective too.
Right. I love that. Also, I did look it up. You're right. It did shut down 2 years ago, and there's a subreddit and everyone's really upset.
Yeah, I would be upset. I love that. I feel like one person who's really good at that right now is Fred again.
Yeah. Did you just see him?
Yes, I did. I saw him. It was the LA Coliseum shows yeah. like one night. Yeah, it was insane. It was crazy. It was so good. I got to see him perform again. And yeah, he's so talented. And he has a Discord chat with his fans where he'll just like talk to them and send them like private events. And it's so cute.
That's a great point. I feel like that's what today's fan club is like Discord.
Yeah, I like it though. I like yeah. am actively on Discord. So it's nice to see it being transferred over there. Funny.
That is really funny. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So for people who don't really know or like understand the aura of Fred again, can you kind of explain?
Oh my gosh. Well, I first saw Fred again when he performed at Coachella, just like after that Frank Ocean fun stuff that happened.
Oh my gosh. Yep. Good times. Not
good times. So I saw him and I was so stoked. But Fred again, he's a producer. He's also a singer. He's been singing lately. Yeah, he like plays multiple instruments and he's also a DJ. So he's known a lot for his like dance electronic music. But what I love about him is that him being like a producer as well, he does a lot of his music genuinely live. Like he'll record the audience and turn that into a beat, like make beats out of just like different objects, and he'll have his like keyboard and like make a new like verse or line just like in person. So he's really creative in that sense. And so I love that, like he took Baby Keem's like song and like broke it apart. There's a whole video on it. It's insane. And he like basically turned it into like this magical 3-minute song, and I'm losing my breath because I love this man. He's so good.
Yeah, he like really blew up, I think, over the past few years, which I love to see because he also just seems like a very down-to-earth guy. Like even to your point of that, he like interacts with fans on his own Discord is like very telling.
Yeah, and I'm talking like I know him, but this is just all from like perspective. But you could tell like he really cares. Like he worked with like ticketing and Ticketmaster to really make sure that everyone got a ticket, and like, you know, that whole process with bots and just transfer of ticket and resale. So he did a really good job at kind of combating that for this recent show, and it was really impressive. So for cool. sure.
Yeah, it is super impressive. I hope that inspires other artists to do the same more. Because I think he's cultivated such a community within his fans, like more than any other artist right now.
Yeah, no, for sure. And he's been like playing around the world, like doing pop-up shows just to get himself out there. And I know he has his like second album. But yeah, he was at LA Coliseum. It was amazing. I mean, their capacity is like 77,000, which
Yeah, I saw some TikToks of him and I was just, he just like looks like someone pulled him from out of the crowd and they're like, okay, you're going to perform now. He's so like unsuspecting.
Yeah, they had the stage where it was like a big round circle. So man was like walking laps. He wanted to make sure like everyone saw him. It was so funny. I'm glad I went because I was definitely having FOMO and then I just said, you're going.
I love that. That's when you know it's going to be a good time, when you decide last minute, you're like, okay, you know what? I'm going to commit.
Yeah. And he's just so good live. I was like, I have to go.
So are there any other, like, who else are you into these days? Just for my own personal nosy knowledge of, so I can listen.
Let me think. Okay. Funny enough, I've been listening to a lot of people coming to the Greek. And so one person, Del Water Gap has been really good.
Yes.
I know he's blowing up too. Faye Webster is coming and I'm obsessed with her music right now.
Nice. So I love her. Yeah, I was supposed to see her down at South by Southwest, but it was like between her and the Black Keys. And I have always wanted to see the Black Keys. And I was like, I think there's more of a chance I'll get to see her again than them. And I was right because I bought tickets for their stadium tour and then they canceled it. So
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Never...
That's,
it was just handled really poorly. Like no one, they didn't like announce it. So everyone just started getting refund emails. And then we were like, are they okay?
No.
Like what is going on? And then, yeah.
Okay. They should have announced it. Like,
yeah, it was not great. I think I was doing some research on Reddit, of course, and I think they like fired their management. So I think that, yeah, there was a problem for sure.
Honestly, the tea in the music industry is crazy. Like, I'm glad I'm glad I'm here. I can't imagine like the stress of working in like the management artist team.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it is. It's stressful. Like I got a taste of it working in management with Alicia Keys and I was just so grateful that she's like a very pleasant person to work with, because I was thinking like on top of the stress of that and then working with a difficult person or like band, I can't even imagine.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I always talk to a lot of people in the industry that they work with certain artists and it's not pleasant. And I think that's so unfortunate because we're just trying to like work and support your creative, you know, art.
Right.
And it sucks when they're mean. There's so many people out there.
Yeah, it is. And yeah, it's the reality of it, unfortunately. But there are also amazing people that make up for it, I think.
Oh, 100%. 1,000%. And then I'm going to actually faint when Remy Wolf gets here.
I'm dying to see her.
Yeah, she's like, I feel like in music, you could see a lot of people. But for me, I have like my list of people I'm like, I haven't seen yet and I'm dying to see.
Right.
And she's like, she's on it. She's on it for sure.
Totally. That she's like high up there on the list for me too. And like, I can't believe that she came from American Idol. Like that, just because she's so one of a kind, so unique. I'm like, how did that happen?
Wait, she came from American Idol.
Yeah, she was like a finalist on American Idol. Isn't that wild?
Oh yeah, in 2014. That's awesome. Good for her. No, she's been awesome. I love how she seems so genuinely herself.
We also, yeah, I'm reading her Wikipedia and it says that she represented the U.S. in alpine skiing at the Youth Olympic Games for 2 years. Oh my gosh.
She could do it all. She could
do
it all.
That's insane. And she's not even 30. Like, okay.
I just feel like this is lame, but I feel like we could be great friends, you know, with her.
Yes.
Two of us.
Totally. Oh my gosh, she's so cool. Like so effortlessly cool.
Yeah, I'm looking at photos of her. I'm like, I want to be that cool.
Right. Yeah, I love her. Those are all great people. Okay, so that kind of leads into a tough question that will be a pauser for you, but that's okay. Take your time with answering it. If you could create a music festival and you got to pick
what?
The three headliners and where it would be, what would it be?
Wait, that's so hard.
I know.
What do you mean? It has to be like, I would say, well, I would want three different genres, because might as well milk it. Oh my gosh, this is so hard. I would say like Coldplay would be one, because I love them, and everyone who has been to a Coldplay show probably could say that it was like the best show ever, just because they really know how to put on a performance.
I've never seen them, but I could see that.
It's insane. Like, you leave and you're like, what just happened? Like,
wow.
So they have lasers, they have fog, they have like fireworks, like they have everything.
They're like truly pros at it.
And then maybe for like a rapper, I would say Kendrick Lamar or Tyler the Creator, because I love them. And then the third one, maybe, like, I mean, Bad Bunny would be cool again.
Ooh, I like this lineup. And then where would it be?
I would love, like, somewhere on the beach.
Yeah.
It would be pretty. It would be fun.
Well, this was, like, amazing. I feel like I could ask you a million more questions, but I do have one more head scratcher for you.
No. No, I'm just kidding.
If you could create your own album title to describe your music career so far, what would it be named?
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe like Only Up From Here, something like that. Maybe like Better, like Good Times Ahead. I don't know. I just feel like right now it's been really great in my life with my career and just where I'm at personally too. So I'm like taking all these blessings and not taking anything for granted and like continuously working hard. So I think it's just nice to know that life gets better. It's going to get better. You have to go through like hardships and like shitty things to have happen, but like there's always good times ahead, like better times ahead.
There's so much meaning behind that, like you said. And I just think you lead yourself and your career with so much grace and gratitude, and it's really, really admirable. And like, I hope that it reminds other people that it will keep getting better, and that, you know, if they're not where they're at yet, to trust that process. But it's really inspiring to hear it from you.
Thank you. I'm proud of you too. And yeah, I know it's been so crazy, but I'm glad we have each other as support, and definitely encourage everyone to find like that support and that community, because I feel like you all keep me going, you know, whether it's like being inspired or just like asking questions or just this conversation that we're having is like really motivating me too.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on to You Had to Be There.
Yay! I'm so excited. Thank you for having me, and just so proud of you too for this project and the podcast and just how it's advancing. And you never know where it could lead you to or how big it could get. So shoot for the stars. Plus, you're so cool, Julia.